Now, the Metropolitan Police Force has said, this is a very interesting story, it has said that it has serious concerns about a Panorama programme which raised doubts about claims that establishment figures were involved in a paedophile network in the 70s and the 80s. Let's look at this story because it's really interesting. Scotland Yard said last week's programme might affect its investigation into allegations of child sex abuse and murder and make witnesses less willing to contact police. Panorama's editor, Kerry Thomas, said the Met statement had been issued before the police had seen the programme and his team were careful in their dealings with witnesses.
We were enormously concerned throughout not to do anything that would deter victims from coming forward. But we think that we have to be able to scrutinise the way the police go about big investigations like this. And there really isn't a way to do that without looking at the way that police have treated statements from victims and treated the evidence they brought forward.
Well, I've been speaking to the former head of the Child Online Protection Agency, CEOP, Jim Gamble, and the Times columnist, David Aronovich. I started by asking David about the Metropolitan Police's criticism of the Panorama programme.
I find the Met's attitude to Panorama puzzling, I must say. I don't really understand it. I mean, as far as I can see, looking on from the outside, they have been relatively content to have news organisations like the XRO Agency and a series of others run stories for months suggesting that people like Leon Britton had evidence laid against them, which was supposedly of a very strong variety, and accusing him essentially of a long history of sadistic child abuse. And what Panorama showed was that the evidence upon which these claims rested and have been tested for the last 3 years are extraordinarily flawed. Now, I cannot understand for the life of me why it is that you, that the Met would object to this program and not to all the other statements and articles that have been written in the course of the last 2.5-3 years. Makes no sense to me.
Go on, Jim.
Well, I mean, I think the Met have a legitimate issue with this. They're involved in an ongoing criminal investigation at the moment, and that investigation hasn't come to a conclusion. They'll still be seeking evidence from people that they can get to come forward at this stage. And some people might not want to come forward now because they feel that they'll be vilified or not believed. Now, let me put that in context. I think the Met have made some problems for themselves, coming out as they did, saying, well, this is very credible, and of course we believe it. And I'm not sure that that was helpful, that Ken MacDonald, the former DPP, made some really valid point. We're in an environment where too much is being said public, too much speculation.
David Aronovich, there is a thrust here. These comments from the Met are not just isolated. What they did was they had said that an alleged witness's claims about one of these VIP paedophile rings were credible and true, and the Met have now admitted that those credible and true comments may have appeared to preempt the jury's verdict. But they're not isolated, are they? Because we've heard police forces across the country very much proactively sending out a message to the public that alleged victims will be believed. You will always be believed. And I have questioned this before, David. Why should an alleged victim always be believed any more than an alleged perpetrator who is maintaining his innocence? It's for the courts to decide, not the police to decide that an alleged perpetrator is on the back foot, is it?
Well, obviously I agree with that. I mean, in one sense, I can see what the problem is they had. I mean, you could argue it's twofold. Firstly, they're having to make up for the mistakes of the past and the recent past. If we think about the grooming cases and so on, the police have come under severe criticism for not taking as seriously as they should have done, to say the very least, these things said by the victims of grooming gangs and so on. The second thing is that in the case of Savile, when somebody is discovered to have been a long-time abuser and nobody's done anything about it, then in that case, and also the case with the church, with the churches, there becomes a kind of mentality which is, we must under no circumstances be seen to be doing anything that is remotely like that. In other words, we must be seen to be taking it with the utmost seriousness and so on. But the problem is that there is such a thing sometimes as confabulation, sometimes there's such a thing as false accusation, and often a situation of mistaken error. There's an enormous problem of what I would describe as internet contamination, which is that people can find already on the internet all these claims about what people have done, and are therefore in a position effectively to repeat them. If they're now, police know all about false confessors and so on, of whom there was at least one person who's been involved in false confession, is one of the three people who were supposedly corroborating claims about Leon Britton in Dolphin Square and so on. And so there was a very good reason, I think, for the police to be far more careful than they have been in saying what they said about what it was that the complaints that people were making. But, you know, I certainly understand not least the political pressure which was on. And one of the things that Panorama highlighted was the way in which political pressure had been brought by the now deputy leader Tom Watson and others to effectively reopen an investigation on a rape claim against Leon Britton that the police had already discovered they could not progress.
Jim Gobble, you're back with us, right?
Yes, I am, yeah.
The point that I was making to David earlier is that the police across the country, many times over recent years, because of the pressure post-Savile, have been sending out a message to the public: we will always believe alleged victims. We will believe you. We want to tell you we will believe you. Is that not wrong? Why should the police believe an alleged victim before an alleged perpetrator who turns out to be innocent? It's not for the police to believe anybody. It's for the police to collect evidence and the public and the jury to decide who to believe, is it not?
Well, it is. I think what David said is right. The police are counterbalancing all of the errors made in the past when survivors of abuse didn't come forward because they simply weren't believed. They weren't treated as credible. So I think what the police are saying, in essence, is come forward, you'll be listened to and you'll be believed. But actually, the key is then that they carry out an investigation before they name and shame. So certainly encourage survivors to come forward. You know, there are very, very few survivors who come forward and make up false claims.
Why are they telling people they will be believed? That's my point. It's not the role of the police to believe anybody, is it?
Well, you know, in the case of survivors of sexual abuse, I think it's about encouraging them to come forward and reassuring them that they won't be treated in the shameful and wrong way they were in the past. And the problem with people who have been victims of these terrible types of abuse is that they have been treated as fictitious. Their claims have been treated as fictitious. They haven't been taken seriously. So the police need to counterbalance that. What they need to do, though, as they move forward...
There's a difference. Sorry to interrupt, Jim, but there's a huge difference between taking an allegation seriously and believing it. That's my point.
Yes, there is. And I think, you know, the semantics in this is extremely difficult because of the emotion attached to it. For too long, victims weren't believed. The police telling them and the NSPCC telling them, come forward, talk to us, you will be believed, has encouraged hundreds, you know, to have the courage to come forward and talk. And I don't want to do or say anything that inhibits that. We have to recognise, though, that there is a counterbalance. And that counterbalance is people are innocent until proven guilty. And I've become more and more and more concerned as time has gone on that we do tend to try people in the court of public opinion. And that is actually going to damage the potential for credible prosecutions in the future. So no one is winning out of this. Ian McFadgen from Scotland, a victim of a survivor of abuse, whom I've got the absolute utmost respect for, also highlighted one of the problems that people kind of come out and intentionally or unintentionally jump on the bandwagon, i.e. not making false allegations, but supporting and advocating on behalf of survivors in a way that it sometimes is more about them than survivors themselves. So we're in a very difficult situation. I don't think Panorama will have helped the Metropolitan Police investigation. I don't think the Metropolitan Police have helped themselves with regards to some of the things that they've said. And I think least said now best until the investigations are concluded. And if there is evidence, then people should be taken to court.
But how far is this going, Jim? When you have the police... You know, we've discussed these comments about believing alleged victims. When you have the police using language like allegations are credible and true before they've been tested in court, do you think we're at the point that there is a real danger that innocent people will be convicted of sex crimes that they have never done?
I think there is a danger that people will be, you know, the stigma will stick with some people where there is insufficient evidence to prosecute them, and thereby their reputation is forever damaged. And I think that is a massive problem. The truth is, we've had an epidemic of child abuse. It hasn't been well dealt with in the past, and we're now dealing with some of the symptoms of that. The Panorama program, I think, laid bare for everyone the complexity and difficulty of dealing with these investigations. I think Peter Saunders from NAIPAC was absolutely dignified as ever when he said, look, of course, sometimes survivors will get bits wrong. But what they don't get wrong, you know, in my experience or in his, is the horrifying abuse that has traumatized them and that they survive with every day. So dealing sensitively with that, encouraging people to come forward and reassuring them that they will be believed and taken seriously is right. Saying that you actually are taking something as a credible complaint and saying that it is true, you know, there is a real difficulty.
But Jim, here you go again. With respect, here you go again. So let's hypothesize that there is someone listening to this program today who wants to, and they're not a genuine victim, and we're all supporting genuine victims. There's no doubt about that. But let's look at the other category of person. Let's look at someone who wants to financially benefit and wants to make up a lie and wants to fabricate that they were assaulted. You've just told them that when they go to the police with a fabrication, that they will be believed.
The police saying that they will believe and meaning that they will believe as survivors coming forward is a positive thing. The police are only part of the criminal justice system. So them encouraging you to come forward and listening to you and believing you and treating you credibly, they still then have to collect and collate evidence. That evidence, and the oldest principle in policing is where there's an allegation of crime, they have to collect and collate evidence to establish whether or by whom a criminal offence has been committed. So once they begin that process, if they cannot establish evidence beyond a reasonable doubt that a person has committed the crime, they will not achieve a successful prosecution. What's being lost here is the fact that we have this lottery where people's names are exposed in the press, and there's almost this vicious game now of throwing accusations around and innuendo that leaves people's reputations and their families, you know, in tatters.
And do you think those names should be published, David?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to square this. I understand what Jim's getting at with what's actually happened. I mean, it wasn't my imagination that had me seeing Wiltshire police stand outside Edward Heath's house and invite anybody who thought they'd been abused by him to come forward. Now, I do wonder what it is that the police under these circumstances imagine is going to happen as a consequence of something like that. I mean, when Harvey Proctor made his statement about essentially what had been put to him as a consequence of one of these characters who had made the complaint, who had originally gone through a news agency called XRO and had been brought by them and by the Labour MP Tom Watson to the police, it does kind of make you wonder what you think has actually been happening here. Well, the Panorama programme was an attempt. I mean, you were right to say that it laid bare what was going on, and presumably in that sense it was a good idea and not a bad thing to do at all. But what it needed to do was to tell the public, look, these stories that you have been hearing, these things that lay behind the Metropolitan Police saying something was credible and true, this is actually what has been going on, and this is what we've discovered about it. And I absolutely do not buy the argument that by telling the public the truth about it, you somehow compromise police operations in this way. It's an incredibly self-serving argument. And incidentally, as I said to Jim before, it's not one that the Met have used on all the previous comments that have been made about Leon Britton and others in other sections of the press, where they have effectively traduced and trashed a man's reputation for no good reason.
And yet, David, we know that from the publicity that police forces have created around accusations, guilty people have been convicted because more witnesses have come forward, Rolf Harris being an example.
That is absolutely true. That's absolutely true. So what you have to be saying, it seems to me, to people who are survivors of abuse and victims of abuse, is we will take what you say seriously. We will listen hard to what you say, and we will investigate properly. What you do not say to people is, to everybody and all and consider, if you come to us, it's open house on whatever accusation you give us. We are prepared to give it our backing in the first instance. No, You investigate it. And I can hear in the tone of your discussion with Jim the problem of what happens when a person's common sense comes up against, in a sense, if you like, the institutional politics for whatever reason of an organization. And in this instance, Jim would be well advised to listen to you because your common sense has got it right.
Jim and David, thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
No worries.